You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
I want to talk to you about the Trinity. Now, one of the keys to understanding the Trinity is understanding the person of the Holy Spirit. So, as we go through the scripture today, I pray that you are given a greater level of understanding about this great mystery of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the mystery of the Trinity. He is the unifier. Now, there are some believers who actually believe that the Trinity is not biblical. But in order to demonstrate that the Trinity is in fact biblical, we only need to show two truths from Scripture. And that is, number one, that God exists or is expressed in three persons. And number two, that these three persons make up only one God. And that is the mystery. One God, three persons. Now, when talking about the personalities of the Trinity, nobody denies that the Father is a distinct personality, and nobody denies that the Son is a distinct personality. In fact, we often see in Scripture the Son referencing the Father. But where many believers find their hang-up with the Trinity is that they don't understand the person of the Holy Spirit. They imagine that the Holy Spirit is a force or an object or an it, when in fact the Scripture describes Him as a personal being, a personal member of the Trinity. John chapter 15, verse 26 says, "But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about Me." John chapter 16, verses 13 through 14 say, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you." Notice here that the Scripture references the Holy Spirit hearing and speaking. He is a distinct person. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 say, "And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by His baptism in water, by shedding His blood on the cross, not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with His testimony." So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree. Now, in all of those portions of Scripture that we just read, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a person, as He, not it. The Holy Spirit can commune with us because He is a person. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." You cannot have fellowship with an it. You can only have fellowship with a person. The Holy Spirit has a will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." The Holy Spirit can speak. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 says, "The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage." Now, why then is the Holy Spirit called the Holy Spirit? Well, consider this. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Adding "the" before His title doesn't necessarily identify Him as an it, because the Father and the Son are also referred to as the Father and the Son. So the Holy Spirit is definitely a person. We see that in Scripture. But is He distinct from the Father and the Son? Absolutely. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, let's read it again. "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." There you can see all three mentioned distinctly. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say, "After His baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on Him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is My dearly loved Son, who brings Me great joy.'" Now, this is the first time in all of the New Testament that we actually see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all pictured together, distinct from one another. The Son is being baptized. The Father is speaking over the Son, and as the Father is speaking over the Son, the Holy Spirit is descending like a dove upon Jesus. So the Scripture makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit is personal. The Holy Spirit is distinct from the Father and the Son. Now, this is where some run into their issues. They say, yes, the Holy Spirit may be personal, and yes, the Holy Spirit may be distinct from the Father and the Son, but He's not necessarily God. That's what they say. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So the Holy Spirit is actually referred to as one with the Lord. He's referred to as the Lord or as God. Now, this may sound like a contradiction, but remember, the mystery is that they are three distinct persons and one God. In fact, the Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is omniscient. He's all-knowing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11 say, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. So the Holy Spirit searches out everything. He knows the mind of God. He understands the nature of God and the will of God, and He is, in fact, the Spirit of God. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Psalm chapter 139, verse 7 says, I can never escape from Your Spirit. I can never get away from Your presence. The Holy Spirit is also omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Luke chapter 1, verse 35 says, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Now, there again, we see the three distinctions being made, but I want you to also notice that as the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, so did the power of the Most High. In other words, the same Holy Spirit who worked in Jesus, that power that caused the sick to be healed, the dead to be raised, the demonically oppressed to be delivered, that same power is the same power that came on Mary. And it's described as the power of the Most High. The Holy Spirit has the power of the Most High. Why? Because He is God. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God. The Scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. That's Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. So there we see He is the Spirit of God that was there at the beginning of creation. So the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He has a will. He can speak. All of these scriptural truths add up to the fact that the Holy Spirit is a personal being who is distinct from the Father and the Son, yet just as divine. Now, I want to show you something. In Isaiah chapter number 6, and this is a powerful portion of Scripture. This is the call of Isaiah. This is when he sees the Lord high and lifted up, and he receives his call into the ministry. But Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 and 9 tell us something powerful. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. And he said, yes, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Now, the Scripture there, as I said, is describing Isaiah the prophet's encounter with Almighty God. Yet in the book of Acts, chapter number 28, we see something that gives us revelation and insight into this portion of Scripture. Acts chapter 28, verses 25 and 26 say, and after they had argued back and forth among themselves, they left with this final word from Paul. The Holy Spirit was right when He said to your ancestors through Isaiah the prophet, go and say to this people, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. Here, the same portion of Scripture is being referenced from Isaiah. Now, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is said to have encountered the living God. But here in the book of Acts, we see that it was in fact the Holy Spirit who Isaiah encountered. What does that tell us? The Holy Spirit is God. And in fact, I think one of the most powerful scriptures, and it's not used all that often when it comes to referencing the Trinity, but in my opinion, this is one of the most powerfully demonstrative scriptures in reference to the Trinity. It's found in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. So by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ the Son offered himself to God the Father. But you notice there that the scripture calls him the eternal Spirit. Well, only God is eternal, and therefore the Holy Spirit is God. And that is a powerful scripture that demonstrates all those points that I was telling you about. But the two main ones are that they are distinct personalities from one another, and all three of them are God. They are equally God. They are one God. Now, looking to the scripture, we find this great mystery. And as we understand who the Holy Spirit is, we come closer to understanding the mystery of the Trinity. But still, there is a debate in Christianity. Some will say on one side, he is one God, and therefore they deny the distinct expressions of his personalities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the problem with that is that the scripture is very clear that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are each distinct from one another, and that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are each God. Then there are those who say he is a Trinity, which I believe, but then they limit themselves to those three expressions, not realizing that he is in fact one. He's one God. And so these arguments take place because we do not have the understanding on this mystery. Now, when I say that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit each work in their own way, those who believe in the Trinity agree with me. But when I say that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, they get mad because they say, oh, now you're saying he's only one. No, no, this is the mystery. He is both. And once we recognize that he is in fact both, then we can lay aside our arguments and come to unity on this topic. Now, here's an analogy that I heard. It's not my analogy, but I thought it was incredibly clever and it was satisfactory to me. Now, this isn't going to cause you to fully comprehend this mystery, but it will help. Some of you, it may make you think, well, that was a little confusing. Others, you may understand it, but for me, it was helpful, so I want to share it with you. I want you to picture a cube. Now, a cube is a three-dimensional object with six sides. Now, imagine that you live in a two-dimensional world. You can only see in two dimensions. You cannot see the cube for what it is. All you can see is one side of the cube at a time. So if you were limited to two dimensions, a cube to you would not be one shape. It would in fact appear to you as six different sides being revealed at different times. You could never comprehend the cube for what it was, and so the debates would ensue. You would say, no, that cube is six sides. And the ones who said, no, it's six sides, but one cube, you would say, how can that be? It's because we lack the understanding in this dimension. God is outside of this realm. So if we try to limit him to the physical laws of this realm, we end up with contradictions and debate and confusion. But once we recognize that the physical laws that apply to us don't apply to God's realm, then we can come to understand that there are mysteries beyond us and that God is in fact one God expressed in three persons, and the Holy Spirit is equally divine as the Father and the Son.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.